I think it's, you know, it actually says, well, you've got a problem, we can't always get over it or under it, we just got to go through it. And I think that's basically what Joshua and Caleb did. Well, we begin our series on Joshua today, discovering the journey he took before he got to break down the walls of Jericho. I think there was a picture of the journey, wasn't there, Tony? Yeah. It's not a very good map, but it just show you quite the journey, because it, I guess if it took him 40 days, it was probably 20 days there and 20 days back, I don't know. But that's the journey they took. Now, Moses gave him a new name. And I'm just wondering, are there any other people here that aren't using the name that they were given at birth? Put your hands up if you... Okay, Tony. And me, yes, I know me. And Pip. Okay, Pip, what was the name you were given at birth?
Philip.
Tony?
Anthony.
Ah, yeah, you see, that, you know, those are obvious. Mine's not obvious. On my birth certificate, the only name that I was given was Veronica. So, why am I called Judith? My sister couldn't say Veronica. I had quite a job to get a passport as well. Why? Because when I got the passport, it was in my married name, and I'm applying for a passport as Judith Holloway with a birth certificate that says Veronica Whitchurch. Of course they questioned it. They gave me one for 3 months and then they realised I was that person. But there you go. So there are a number of other people in the Bible who had their name changed. We look at Abram, who was called Abraham, Sarah, who became Sarah, to name but a few, with the most, perhaps the most famous ones in the New Testament was when Saul became Paul, and of course Simon becoming Peter the Rock, which we've been using on our series. It's not always clear why names are changed, especially when the new name appears to be quite similar to the original name, as in the case of Hoshea, who became Joshua. Hoshea means salvation or deliverance, whereas Joshua means the Lord is salvation, or the Lord saves. So Hoshea points to salvation in a general sense, whereas the name Joshua identifies the source of salvation is the Lord. Moses is effectively saying salvation will not come through this man alone, but will come through the Lord. And as Joshua and the spies enter Canaan, he is constantly reminded that the Lord is the one who saves. If you look at the New Testament, you will see that Joshua is the Hebrew form of the name Jesus. Both names mean the same, the Lord saves. Before Joshua entered the Promised Land, his name was changed, and before he faced the giants, his identity was established. This reminds us that before God sends us into his work, he reminds us of who we are and whose we are. Our confidence does not come from our own ability, but from the God who saves. In the New Testament, Paul writes, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Life is full of moments when we stand on the edge of something God has promised us. A new ministry, a challenge, and here is where we have a choice. We walk by faith or we walk by fear. Numbers 13 tells the story of 12 spies sent into the Promised Land. 10 returned with a report filled with fear, while only Joshua and Caleb trusted God. The difference wasn't what they saw. They all saw the same land. The difference was how they interpreted what they saw. The spies were not sent to decide whether they could take the land. They were sent to see what God had already promised. Too often we allow circumstances to make us question God's promises. Faith begins by remembering what God has said. God's promises should shape our perspective, not our circumstances, because fear makes giants bigger than God. The spies saw futile land, large cities, powerful enemies, giants. 10 spies concluded we seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes. Fear distorted their vision. They became like grasshoppers in their own eyes before assuming they looked that way to the enemy. Sometimes as believers we are defeated long before the battle, because we have accepted fear's version of reality, and we all know about what ifs. Joshua and Caleb responded differently. They had a positive outlook and said, "The land is exceedingly good. If the Lord delights in us, he will be taking us into this land." Of course, Joshua didn't deny the existence of the giants. He simply believed that God was greater. Faith is not pretending difficulties don't exist. 10 men spoke fear. 2 men spoke faith. At the time, the majority won the vote, but God honoured the minority. Remember, truth has never been determined by popular opinion. Sometimes standing with God may well mean standing alone. Joshua was willing to be different because he trusted God more than public opinion. And by trusting God, he survived the wilderness. He became Moses' successor and eventually led Israel into the promised land. The 10 fearful spies died in the wilderness. Faith prepares us for tomorrow. Fear keeps us trapped in yesterday. We all face giants, illness, financial pressure, family struggles, anxiety, opposition, a calling that feels too big. The question is not whether giants exist, but whether we believe our God is bigger than our giants. Joshua reminds us that God's faithfulness is greater than our fears. All 12 spies looked at the same land. 10 said, "We can't." Joshua said, "God can." The difference isn't in intelligence, it is faith. God still asks his people to trust him. May we have, like Joshua, a different spirit, one that trusts God, that trusts God's work above what our eyes can see. That we have a different spirit, one that trusts God, one that trusts God's work above what our eyes can see. Amen.